Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh, this Palm Sunday edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Very good. Happy Palm Sunday to everybody. It being Palm Sunday, and here at Neighbors of Hope in our life change study, we just wrapped up the Gospel of Mark. So we're going to jump back to Mark's Gospel and his rendering of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. So if I could have someone read from, was it Mark 11, 1 through 11, please, that would be helpful.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Okay, thank you. Initial thoughts, comments, questions. What jumps out at you?
For me, it was it's just how immediately everyone in Jerusalem knew how to respond to this. It seemed like only just a kind of like a ragtag band of guys just coming into Jerusalem on a colt. And then you've got these throngs of people coming in to celebrate them.
Why do you think they get the crowd, which, you know, we don't know what size of crowd that was. It was probably somewhat sizable. But why do you think they'd get all excited?
There was a scripture and saying that the Messiah would come in on a colt.
Yeah, they thought he was going to come here and he was going to be there. Look, man, we're going to pull you out of suppression. My name's Jesus. I'm here to save the day. And I'm going to take these guys and get them out of your hair. It's pretty much what it is. A.K.A. time to pony up.
Little Palm Sunday here.
How many guys tried that?
Well, yeah, Jesus is not the first one, nor was he the last to kind of hang around Jerusalem and proclaim to be the Messiah. All right, but it is part that they've been looking for. They've been awaiting. The messianic expectation has gone on for hundreds of years now. All right, and over the past several decades with the Roman occupation, all right, there's even a deeper sense of urgency for this Messiah to arrive. So they're eager. And by the time he gets to entering Jerusalem here, he's built somewhat of a reputable track record that could kind of give them some evidence that this is probably the Messiah, right? But they were very eager, and so they are really hoping that this is the one, right? So I think that's why kind of, if you want to say, an impulsive reaction came so natural for him. It's like, we've been waiting a long time. This guy really appears to be the one. Let's do this. And I think you're right. I think they probably even got more excited because his first stop, the temple. I mean, he's going right to the heart of it. All right. could you just see him kind of pulling up on the donkey? You know, a little valet parking and stuff.
There's just a lot. This scripture is very relatable, I guess, for the simple fact that, you know, because here I've learned that, you know, sin nature is the same thing as addictive thinking.
Yeah.
So these people were doing that. Like, oh, he's here to save the day. And then, just like us, we were expecting Jesus to show up the way we wanted to, the way we expected, okay. And he didn't. So we're like, what is that?
Yeah, and don't we do the same thing? I mean, we have all kinds of culture figures, you know, in our day and age that we may look at with a kind of our own messianic expectation. You know, that this particular individual in a certain position is going to save us. Right? It's going to liberate us. So, yeah, we can be just as guilty of being that impulsive. I don't think we should be, because our Savior's already been here.
Right? I just like the fact that relating to it doesn't justify why I do it. It doesn't give me justification to continue to do it. It's just when things happen and I can relate to these stories, man, it's just like, why am I so worried about it? It's not, and again, that's not in a sense of I don't have to be worried about it. I should think about it. I should take it into consideration. I need to listen closely.
Well, and I commend you, because I think there is one of the things that hopefully you're learning here. We cannot leave these stories back to the first century. Somehow or another, it's the living word, which means then we have the responsibility of how do we interpret that first century encounter in our 21st century. Right? It has to be alive. And so when we start making connections, like, okay, I see the connections there. And so one of the things we've looked at in our Lenten study is the domination system, right? That's present at the time, which is why Jesus goes to the temple. Right? It's kind of the heart, the center of the domination system. Anybody want to share with our listening audience how we define a domination system, just so they kind of keep tabs with us?
Political oppression, economic exploitation, and religious justification.
Yeah, political oppression, economic exploitation, and a religious justification. So when you have Rome, right, is oppressing, or they're occupying Israel, right? So they're oppressing, right? Kind of through peace, through violence, right? They have an economic exploitation. It's heavy. There's classism. There's taxation. And unfortunately, you have both the paganism of Rome and a significant portion of the Jewish establishment, right, the leadership, that's really in bed with Rome. Right? So they're justifying a lot that Rome's doing. There's a domination system, and people are suffering from it. Jesus rolls in on this donkey in a humble way, right, humility, and confronts that system. Right? Because the next story is what? In 11.
Temple.
Yeah, he's in the temple and he starts letting them know. All right. One of the other things I'd like, I know we've studied it here, but can we share a little bit with our listening audience that part of our study during this Lenten season is to understand there's something else happening along the same timeline. That we can say that these people eager for liberation, right, from this oppression, get real excited about Jesus' little parade. Right, they form this little parade, and he's kind of coming from the east, crossing the Jordan, goes right straight to the temple. Well, there's another parade that's coming from the west, and that's Caesarea, which is the home or the palace where Pontius Pilate is. Right, and his parade's entering town too. And we talked about, you know, his parade looking like a military parade. All right. Can you share with our listening audience maybe some of the differences between those two parades?
Well, Jesus' parade is it's a humble, like, it's just a cult, and there's unarmed followers, and it's received by peasants, but. Pontius Pilate, he's got the whole entourage. He's got soldiers with armor and spears and swords and banners, and he's got the.
And he's on a war horse.
Yes, he's got his whole.
Yeah.
And he's got his whole household and his court.
So yeah. In a nutshell, it's Pilate's going from kingdom to kingdom, staying the same, none's changing. He's just, it's a war thing, man. He's always, it's power, control, the victory through violence or fear. And Jesus is coming to confront that. So he's going from the bottom to the top, Pastor.
Yeah. So Pilate, we would say, it comes from palace to palace, because when he arrives in Jerusalem, he goes to Herod's palace, right? Jesus goes to the temple. There's two different missions here, and you're absolutely right. Pilate's mission is not changing. And he is the Pax Romana of Rome, is that peace is established through violence, right? We would say for Jesus, peace is established through justice. And so he's going to try and establish peace by confronting the injustice within the temple. All right, on this Palm Sunday. Any other thoughts? You got anything you want to throw out there?
I mean, it's not necessarily for that, but I do have... Sometimes I make the realization that where we live is... And I'm grateful for everything I have and the opportunities I'm given. But then I manipulate my thinking based on what I've learned to believe that the freedom and liberty I have are what they are. Whereas in Isaiah it also says, the nations are but a drop in the bucket, sand on the scales. So we represent liberty with scales nowadays. It's a balance, where I would say it's not. Justice is freedom. Our justice isn't the same as what I believe that I'm reading in these words. It's just... far from it. Now, I've been on the side of injustice. I have persecuted people. I have gone against not only the church, but the religious establishment and government, both at the same time. But it's not the same thing. I have to confront that authority in a completely different way.
Yeah, and we could easily say that probably puts you, I guess if we want to make the analogy, that's much like Barabbas was, right? And we know... Over the course of the next week, we're going to have the Barabbas, Pilate, and Jesus scene. And Barabbas thought he was doing a good thing. But he's really fighting against his oppressors, both religious and political. Any other closing thoughts?
Am I correct when I say that it was prophesied hundreds of years before this actually took place, that he was going to ride in on a donkey?
That's part of the Old Testament. And I think that contributes to what we started out saying, why they were eager.
Yeah.
Right? The messianic expectation was really about a 400-year expectation. Right? They've been waiting for the one. Right? Now, there had been several ones before Jesus, and there were several ones after Jesus, right? Because after his death, not everybody really bought into the resurrection, right? As a matter of fact, it took to about the year 132, where you really had the definitive split between what we'd call Judaism and Christianity. Up until that point, it was really still a movement within Judaism that included Gentiles, right? But it wasn't necessarily distinct from, right? More like a sect of Judaism. But a guy by the name of Simon ben Kobar, he proclaimed to be the Messiah, and he was going to lead a revolt against Rome. And he went to those Christ-believing people, both Jews and Gentiles, and asked them, he says, look, I'm the Messiah, yours is dead, why don't you come follow me? And that was the point that says, no, thank you, we already have our Messiah. All right, well, we'll pray that we have a blessed Palm Sunday today. And thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a Women's and Children's Transitional Housing Program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.